From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Let the Bible Speak, and Alan Cairns here once again to introduce the program to you. It's good to have you listening in as we continue our study in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, thinking particularly this week of what we learn of Christ and His teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 and following. I trust you'll stay with us as in a few minutes we return to our study of the Sermon on the Mount. We start, however, with our hot topic for today, touch wood. I'm sure you've heard the old superstition, touch wood. Usually touching wood is for luck, or perhaps for protection against some real or imagined evil. For the most part, people say, touch wood, in a jocular fashion, with no suggestion that they either believe in luck or in obtaining it by touching wood. But there can be no getting away from the meaning of the phrase, touch wood. You may therefore imagine my surprise when, travelling along a rural road in Northern Ireland just before Easter, I saw outside a church a sign with a large cross depicted on it, accompanied by the slogan in bold letters, touch wood. No doubt the advertising genius who dreamed this up thought it cute or arresting. In reality, it was simply blasphemous, yet another indication of how far down the road of apostasy many once solid Protestant churches have gone. Let's get this clear. To employ an old heathen superstition about how to get lucky and attach it to the cross of Christ is unbelievably insensitive and displays an alarming ignorance of both God and man. Men and women need much more than a dose of Irish luck. They're not merely victims of unfortunate circumstances. They're sinners by nature and by personal choice, and they need a personal experience of God's salvation. Perhaps that's what, in its own perverted way, the church slogan meant to communicate. If it did, it was woefully inadequate and misguided. All it did was to demean the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But even if we give the church the benefit of the doubt and accept that the intention was to convey a message that what people really need is a personal experience of the cross, the sign it used was still all wrong. Follow me carefully. I know that most people are enraptured by relics. That's why for centuries the Church of Rome has had such a flourishing trade in dead bones and other useless pieces of the flotsam and jetsam of history. Imagine for a moment that you could produce the actual cross on which the Lord Jesus Christ died. Now, instead of a mere drawing on a church sign, you would have the real cross. Plant it in a prominent place and erect a sign, touch wood. You'd be overrun by well-meaning pilgrims, all eager to get a touch of the cross. Now here's the question. What good would it do them to touch the wood of the cross? The answer's simple. None whatsoever. You see, when Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, he meant that he gloried not in the wood of the cross, but in the work of the cross. Not in the sign of the cross, but in the sacrifice of the cross. Not in touching the structure of the cross, but in trusting the Savior who died on the cross bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. I detest this kind of slick but sick advertising that I saw on the church sign. As I say, it is fundamentally blasphemous. It demeans the crosswork of Christ, and it misdirects sinners. Forget about touching the wood of the cross, and make sure you are trusting Christ's finished work on the cross. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Comes to you from Greenville, South Carolina, but we have churches in various parts of the United States and Canada, and we come to you on behalf of all of them. Some of you have written to say that you've enjoyed the ministry. You ask for CDs or tapes or some of the literature that we mention here on the broadcast. Some of you have also written to say that you would like to have a Free Presbyterian witness in your area. We can't promise to be able to send a preacher to all who ask, but we are interested in helping you if we can, and in hearing from those who have a desire to take a stand for God and the old gospel in a day of apostasy. So we would be delighted to hear from you if you think we can be of assistance to you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. We now return to our study of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. The Lord Jesus, who knows God and man, describes his people as a happy people. Some of the marks of their happiness are the very things that the world would think to be marks of unhappiness. How different is the mind of Christ? He speaks of those who are poor in spirit. He says, "Blessed are they that mourn." And now we take up his description of his people as being meek. Blessed are the meek. That's where we take up today's broadcast. Then they are meek. They humbly follow their Lord in submission to his will. What God does is good enough for them. What God says is right for them. They say, "Not my will, but thine be done." And they hunger and they thirst after righteousness. They are blessed as meek people seeking the will of God. And they are blessed with their passion for God. Now, again, I want to emphasize this. Something is happening in Reform circles today, at least in some Reform circles today, that I want to blast, and I use that word advisedly, as one of the most hellish things that is happening in Christendom, and it's happening in Reformed churches. I get Reformed literature from a particular branch, or branches, of the Calvinistic churches. And they are so intellectually egghead that they are willing openly to mock a passion for devotion. That is pietism. And it seems that the filthiest word that these people can use is the word pietist. To weep in prayer. We don't need to do that. To weep over souls. To cry with a burdened heart for revival. Oh, that's beneath the dignity of these deformed Calvinists. I want to tell you, my friend, if this is pietism, by the grace of God, this will be a pietistic church. Jesus said, "Blessed are they who hunger and they thirst and they pant as the hart pants after the water brooks, and they pour out their soul and their yearning for spiritual experience." Yearning for it. Men and women, let me say this. I love the orthodoxies of the Reformed faith. And I have no apology to make for being what the world nicknames a Calvinist. That's simply somebody who's willing to let that Bible speak on all its pages.
I want to tell you that any religion, be it Calvinism or any other ism, without a heart on fire with a passion for God, has no right to the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Happy the man who's treating others as the Lord treated him and treats him still. You received mercy, did you not? Then go and give it. Aye, not only to tell men about the mercy of the Lord, but show mercy to them yourself. You remember that parable of the Lord Jesus? Of the servant who owed what in modern terms would be millions. And he had nothing to pay. And his master said that he would frankly forgive him. And that same servant went out. And he found another lesser servant who owed him about half a dollar in our terms. Or a dollar. And he says, give me time. And he wouldn't. He took him and threw him into prison. You remember that? Is that not how many professing Christians deal with others? You know, you should have been in hell today. Deeper down than Tyre and Sidon or Sodom and Gomorrah or Capernaum and Bethsaida and the cities there around. You should have been in the deepest hell and the outer darkness, burning in the wrath of God. And you hadn't anything to pay. You couldn't offer God anything. And he fully, frankly, and freely forgave you. Now some Christian lets you down. Doesn't measure up. In some way he's disappointed you, hurt you, or done you wrong. What do? You catch him by the throat. Oh, not physically. You don't want to end up in jail. But man, your heart's as hard as hell can make it. And you get bitter and angry and resentful and rejecting. You wonder what's wrong in your Christian life. Wonder why you can't pray. Wonder why the Bible's a closed book. You wonder why you come to church. Doesn't get through to your heart. You wonder what's wrong between you and the Lord. Why is the zeal, the zest, the joy, the light, the fire, and the power, why have they gone out of your Christian experience? You wonder. Blessed are the merciful. It's good to treat others as the Lord has treated you. Blessed are the pure in heart. They know that the Lord desires truth in the inward parts, that he's not satisfied with a religious show, and they're not satisfied with a religious show either. They're pure in heart. Ah, that's where real purity resides. God save us from the Pharisaical washing of hands. Pure on the outside, and like a corrupted sepulchre on the inside. God save us from impure hearts. Pure in heart. What a blessing to know the power of the blood and the sanctifying might of the Word and the ministry of the Spirit in the inmost soul, breaking the power of cancelled sin and setting us free. Free from the filth of the world in our thoughts and in our purposes and in our loves. free to be pure in heart. I want, dear Lord, a heart that's pure and clean. A sunlit heart with not a cloud between. Heart like thine, a heart divine. A heart as white as snow. On me, dear Lord, a heart like this bestow. They're pure in heart. I want to tell you there's nothing that will make for happiness more than inward purity. A clean heart. They're peacemakers. Now, understand this is in the kingdom. I am all in favor. Winston Churchill said concerning negotiations that jaw, and you got to understand he was pronouncing this as an Englishman. The English don't pronounce their R's. I don't know, but the English alphabet, as it's pronounced, the letter R doesn't exist. It's ah. A-H. Bit like Boston. And he said, war, or jaw, is better than war. Jawing is better than warring. Talking is better than fighting. So, yeah, good to make peace. All the armchair generals who are wanting quick wars are usually people who haven't been much to war. The people I have talked to who were through great wars never want to be in them again. But this is not talking about your politicians selling out this principle and that principle in the name of peace. This is talking about in the kingdom. It's spreading first the kingdom of peace and the peace of the kingdom. It's a gospel peace. But more than that, it is this peacemaking attitude among the subjects of the kingdom. The very opposite to being a troublemaker in the church and a fault finder and a backbiter and a divider. It is making peace. We have a saying in Northern Ireland about people of a particular ilk that they would cause a fight in a graveyard. You ever met that kind of person? They could disturb the peace of a cemetery. They could have the corpses at war. I've seen them in church life. I've seen people who will have a conversation with you. And then they'll go and report that conversation, only they will report in your name what they said. And then stand back to see what's happening. Tittle-tattlers, tale-bearers. They separate very friends. The very opposite to the peacemaker. In the kingdom, give yourself to the causing of a biblical, spiritual, Christ-centered, peaceable unity among the people of God. Give yourself to it. Let it burden your heart. Don't be inactive about this. These are not peace receivers. These are peace makers. They spread the peace. They're a forgiving people, not a resentful, bitter people. There are people who are seeking to draw together. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How good it is. I don't want to get into the 133rd Psalm today. We might never get out of it. But if you look at that, you'll see how God describes it. He describes it first as the holy ointment with which Aaron was anointed. It came over his head. You see, the anointing starts with the head. It flows from Christ to the body. Down to the beard and down to the skirts of his garments. It's often been pointed out there's no mention of flesh. Because that's the great enemy of unity. But I think the idea is clear that when you're united to Christ, He pours out His Spirit, and that Spirit is going to every part of the body. And all who are in union with Christ, by the ministry of the Spirit, should be enjoying their union with each other.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.